something negative about David, Hushai uplifts Absalom. He plays off Absalom's pride. At the beginning of chapter 15, I preached a sermon called Absalom's Political Campaign. Absalom goes to the gate of the city, and while at the gate of the city, when the people come in the morning, he would say things like, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case would come to me, and I would see he gets justice." When they came to Absalom in his presence, he would reach out his hand, take hold of the poor person, and kiss him. Everything Absalom does is to prove that he is greater or could be greater than his father. And Hushai knows this, and he knows Absalom's pride. Know the one chosen by the Lord, by these people, and by all these men of Israel. His I will be, and I will remain with him. Can't you see, Absalom? The people are with you. All the men of Israel are with you. It seems like you're the one chosen by God, so I'm with you too. Look at your circumstances. Absalom understands popularity. He understands what it means to say what people like. And Hushai knows how to answer. He is playing off Absalom's pride. And this becomes even clearer in verse 19. For as Hushai goes on to answer Absalom, he tells him, "Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the son? Just as I served your father, so I will serve you." Not only is it important to Absalom that David's friend has gone to Absalom's side, but notice how carefully verse 19 is worded. In chapter 15, as David reaches the summit of the mountain, he gives Hushai specific instructions in verse 33 and 34. "If you go with me, you will be a burden to me," David tells him. "But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king. I was your father's servant in the past, but now I will be your servant,' then you can help me by frustrating Ahithophel's advice." Notice in the words that David tells Hushai to say, three times the word servant is used. In the beginning, he tells him, "I will be your servant." In the middle, he tells him, "I was your father's servant, but now I will be your servant." In the beginning, the word servant is used. In the middle, the word servant is used. At the end, the word servant is used. But now in chapter 16, look at what Hushai actually tells him. "Whom should I serve?" Well, we know Absalom's answer is Absalom. Absalom is the whom. "Should I not serve the son?" Who is the son? Absalom. "Just as I served your father, so I will serve you." Who is the you? Absalom. Ahithophel has carefully worded his answer different from what we read that David had instructed him. David told him to use the word servant. Ahithophel, or Hushai, uses the word Absalom. "Whom shall I serve? Absalom. Should I not serve the son? Who is the son? Absalom. Just as I served your father, so I shall serve you." You, Absalom. And when Absalom hears it, he thinks, me. Hushai is setting Absalom up to play off his pride. Absalom begins his campaign with a popularity contest. "The people love me. I'm going to tell them what they want to hear, give them what they want, and the people will love me and make them their king. And now David's friend has gone to Absalom's side. He points out how the people are with Absalom, how it seems to be clear that Absalom is king, even mentioning chosen by the Lord in these circumstances. And Absalom eats it up. Well, then Absalom turns to Ahithophel in verse 20. "Give us your advice. What should we do?" Ahithophel answers, "Lie with your father's concubines, whom he left to take care of the palace. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench in your father's nostrils, and the hands of everyone with you will be strengthened." Ahithophel's advice is to strengthen Absalom's hand. He knows that if Absalom does this act, he will completely cut ties with his father. He'll burn his bridges. The people of Israel, perhaps, are hesitant to side with Absalom. How do we know that the son will not return to his father? How do we know that reconciliation will someday take place between David and Absalom, and all those who supported Absalom will be put to death? Well, once Absalom does this in following Ahithophel's advice, the separation will be complete. They will recognize by this sinful act, he will become a stench in his father's nostrils, and everyone will get behind Absalom, knowing that Absalom has separated from his father forever, and they are safe to join him and strengthen him. So in verse 22 we read that they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he lay with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now notice something carefully once again about the structure of our text. Sandwiched between the story or the information from the narrator, we have at the beginning of 16, Hushai speaking with Absalom as a test of loyalty. In the verses we just read, 20 through 22, Ahithophel gives his first counsel to Absalom. On the other side of verse 23, the beginning of chapter 17, Ahithophel gives his second counsel to Absalom. And in verse 5, Absalom questions Ahithophel's counsel. In 17 verse 5 we read that Absalom said, "Summon also Hushai the Archite so that we can hear what he has to say." In the first section of our text, Ahithophel gives Absalom advice. Absalom does not question it. He goes forth with what Ahithophel has said. At the end of our text, Absalom questions Ahithophel's advice, and he asks Hushai what his counsel would be. Absalom, in the first part of our text, is being given over to his sin. This is no questioning of whether this is right. Ahithophel's counsel is like the inquiry of God. He's telling me to sleep with my father's concubines. I'll go forth, no questions asked. This is from the man who earlier had rejected his father for his failure to deal with his brother Amnon. Absalom, who takes up the case for his sister Tamar after Amnon has raped his sister, who's standing up for injustice. Absalom, who takes the law in his own hands, killing his brother Amnon for what he has done to his sister Tamar. Now, Absalom commits sexual sin, sins against God, sins against his father, sins against his father's concubines. And at the end of the description in verse 22, we read that Absalom stands in his father's shoes. They pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he lay with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. The same roof where David looked down and saw Bathsheba taking a bath in chapter 11 is the place where they pitch a tent for Absalom so that all of Israel can see what he does with his father's concubines. Absalom is being given over to his sin. Absalom is not a king who stands for justice, who stands for righteousness. Absalom is a king who receives the counsel he wants to hear. He listens to that counsel, chooses which counsel he likes, and goes for it. He is susceptible to his pride. He is susceptible to his hormones. He claims that he will be a better king than his father, a man after God's own heart. But Absalom stands in his shoes. Absalom commits the same sexual sins. Absalom is on the same roof. Absalom has no hesitation in what he does. And God gives him over to the desires of his heart, and Absalom will suffer disaster because God has given him over. Absalom is not a king after God's own heart. Absalom is not a king, so he claims, that stands up for justice. He rules like a king after his own heart. He is swayed by pride. He is swayed by lust. The only counsel he listens to is the counsel that pleases him. And that is a dangerous way to live. Does Absalom really believe that Ahithophel's advice is like the advice of God? Does he really think that it's God's will for him to commit this sexual sin? He lets his hormones do the talking. He follows the counsel of the world, not God. He hears it. He justifies it. He does it because the only counsel he really follows is the counsel that pleases him. And so when the next advice comes at the beginning of chapter 15, and there's two sets of advice that he can follow, he has no way to inquire of God, nor does he have a desire to inquire of God. He follows the advice and the counsel that pleases him. There are many, many people in this world who live their life like Absalom. The only advice that they follow is the advice that pleases them. When they hear the advice, when they look at the circumstances, when things seem to be in their favor, they use the circumstances, what the world tells them, to justify what they do and to justify their sins. And God gives them over to the desire of their hearts. God gives them over to their sin, to disaster that will come upon them. Absalom thinks he's in control of his life. He thinks that he's making his own wise decisions. He thinks that God is putting things in his path. He had launched his political campaign. People were following him. Ahithophel is with him. And Absalom is even led to believe that the Lord is with him. Look again at Hushai's words to Absalom in verse 18. Know the one chosen by the Lord, by these people, and by all the men of Israel. His I will be, and I will remain with him. The people seem to be with me. The men of Israel are with me. The soldiers are with me. I'm chosen of the Lord. Does he really believe that God has chosen him? Does he really believe that this is God's plan for him in his life? To run his father out of town, the man after God's own heart, and to pursue him and to track him down and to kill him, and that he's chosen of God? Looking at the circumstances, he believes it. The other time in our text that God's name is mentioned is again in verse 23, where Ahithophel gives advice like one who inquires of God. So is how Absalom regarded his advice. Ahithophel tells me to do this with the father's concubine. It must be God that's telling me to do this. It seems pleasing to me. I'll do it. You can see in this story of Absalom the nature of sin. When we play off our own pride, when people are telling us what we want to hear, when we have those around us who encourage us and support us, and the circumstances seem so right. It seems so right with everything that's going on that God must be with us. People fall into sin. But the truth of our story this morning has been noted by the narrator. God is behind this. Absalom thinks he's making his own decisions. Ahithophel gives this advice, and Absalom goes for it. No questions asked. But way back in chapter 12, as Nathan rebukes David, he tells David in verse 11, "This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight." What Absalom is doing is the fulfillment of the word of God. Absalom is committing the sin. He is responsible for what he is doing. God has ordained it. God has given him over. And though he thinks he's in control, he's not. He is simply being given over to his sin. As you live your life, you must be careful what kind of counsel that you follow. You must not look to the counsel of the world, to the counsel of the circumstances, to those who might make you believe that you're in control and that God is with you by the circumstances and what the world tells you is right and wrong. You must not look to a king like Absalom. A king who is not after God's own heart, but a king who is after his own heart. You must look to a king who did not stand in David's shoes. You must look to a king that did not follow any counsel except the counsel of every word that cometh from the mouth of God. You must look to the King that is the Word that became flesh, the King that you have seen His glory full of grace and truth, the King that walked down the road of humiliation towards that cross, not following the counsel of the world, not following the counsel of His disciples, not doing what was glorified in the world's name, going to a cross and being crucified and dying on that cross. But you follow the counsel of Jesus Christ and His Word. And though the circumstances may indicate otherwise what you should do, you follow that Word. Though others may tell you it's okay, perhaps it's somebody you regard highly as someone who knows God, you follow that Word of God, that grace and truth that He has paved the way for you, so that you are faithful to Him, in service to Him, so that you follow His counsel which leads you to life forever with Him in heaven. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for our text today, which shows us Absalom's fall. And, O God, as we see in Absalom his pride, as we see his hormones, as we recognize, O God, the counsel around him and the circumstances and how he made decisions, Lord, we can see our own sin. Lord, we hear those who tell us different than your word. We look around us, we see others doing things. We recognize, O God, that even godly people can build us up to think we are doing God's will. Yet, Lord, we must recognize our sin. We must recognize the King of Kings. We must recognize the Word of God, the counsel of that King of Kings, by His life, by His Word, which has directed us a different direction. Give us courage, Lord, to stand up for truth. Give us courage in our own life to not live the lives of sinful people, but to live the lives of those who belong to you. That our life may be reflective of the glory of our Savior. That others may see in us that we are different from this world. That we are not given over to our sin and our own desires. But we follow the King of Kings forevermore. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us